feel kind of odd not starting without a video camera.
Yeah.
Feel naked.
The old experience just didn't give me one.
I just got
a message to skip it. So.
Today is Friday, October 10th, and we're on Genesis Study 30. And as you can see from the outline here, we're still working our way through the Toldot of Terah, which is basically the life of Abraham. And right now, we are in chapter 19. So in order to get started today, could someone read verses 1 through 5 at chapter 19 to get us going?
Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. And he said, "Now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." They said, however, "No, but we shall spend the night in the square." Yet he urged them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house, and he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Before they lay down, the men of Sodom surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them."
Okay, thanks, Jeff. So, verse 1, you've got how many people was Abraham talking to, or how many individuals was Abraham talking to, if anyone remembers, in chapter 18? And is that the same amount of individuals now here mentioned in verse 1?
3 to 2.
Yeah, 3 to 2. And this kind of emphasizes this idea we talked about. Who were these three men? And we mentioned a few different theories, and it's likely that it's very likely, based on the context, that the three men were the Lord and the two angels. So now it's just the two angels who are being dispatched by the Lord to do what they're supposed to do. They've gone to Sodom, and it's the evening, and where's Lot?
Not by the gate.
Yeah, anyone have any thoughts as to what that might mean?
Elder of the city.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So in ancient cities, ancient civilizations, the world was mostly city-states, and cities were all walled, so they wouldn't be raped and pillaged and destroyed. That was the self-defense. But usually the judges or the elders of a city-state would meet at the gate of the city to adjudicate matters, listen to cases and controversies. So it appears that, based on where Lot is at, he may be an elder, actually, or a judge of the city. If you ever read the book of Judges, this goes on a lot. These guys are at the gate making decisions. And it's in world history, non-biblical history, you see that this is an ancient practice. So this gives us a clue as to what Lot's role may be as a leader in Sodom. Lot sees him. He rises up to meet him, bows down with his face to the ground. Apparently he recognizes something about these guys. I'm not sure everyone would have, and you'll see the other guys don't bow down to these guys. They want them to bow down, but they're not bowing down. So what does Lot say to these guys once he sees them come into the city?
Come to my house.
Yeah, why does he want him to go to his house?
So you get him out of the
mood. Two issues. One is, again, it's just a practice of hospitality. He's a leader of the city, probably, and so he wants to, it's kind of like the mayor, hey, you know, I want to treat you right, I want to be hospitable. Verse 2 says, turn aside into your servant's house, spend the night, wash your feet, and then you may rise early and go on your way. So he kind of seems like he wants to get him out of there.
Yeah.
And what's their reply in verse 2? Yeah, they're going to stay outside in the park. Yeah, that's probably not a good idea, as we find out here. And so Lot says in verse 3, or it says in verse 3, he urged them strongly. That's not a good idea. You really need to come to my house. So he prepares a feast for them. And what does the scripture mention about what kind of activity these angels engage in verse 3? The end of verse 3.
They ate.
Okay, now you might be thinking, what's the big deal?
Angels don't usually do that.
Well, remember, what are angels?
Great heavenly
spirit. Yeah. They're spiritual beings, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are not they actually can, it's odd, they, apparently they can take many different forms. They're not relegated just to space and time. They can actually, evil angels can actually inhabit the bodies of people and animals. So, but one thing we do know is that they eat, or they are eating. So it's, the only reason I mention this is because a lot of times I think some of us have ideas about what happens after we die. And I want you to remember that one of the things that's going to happen after you die, if you're a believer, is you will be resurrected into some kind of body. And you will be a citizen of Earth. You'll be on Earth. At least during the kingdom of God.
Right.
At least during the reign of Messiah on Earth, you'll be on Earth. In a resurrected state, and you'll be eating. You'll be interacting with people as a resurrected being, just like the angels are interacting right here. And I know that's, I know we want to think, oh, well, don't we get to just drink beer and have kielbasa and float on a cloud? That's not what the Bible says.
Well, that's great, because I love to eat. I'm in heaven, I'll have a perfect body. So that's a touchdown.
That's good. So, and Jesus even says, now we won't be given a marriage in the next world. But so he just says, we're like the angels. You know, you don't know the scriptures when the Pharisees ask, you know, who are we going to be married to? So we're like the angels in the next world.
Any indication of age? I mean, not for me. I mean, but is there growth? I mean, if people die when they're 10 years old. Do they remain 10 years
yeah,
old?
Yeah, a lot
is
of
any,
that's a great question.
Is there any
questions.
Indication of that? Or,
yeah, great question.
Or do I stay old or I get, you know?
I don't want to go too far down this road, but it's a good question. We just definitely know about the resurrection that eye has not seen nor has ear heard. The unbelievable things about this state of being. And it is definitely a different body. It's something different. It may look like a body, you know, but the outward. So I don't know, Richard, how it's going to look. All I do know is that the Lord always looks at the heart and never looks at the outward appearance of any man. So,
but it'll be great.
You're going to be happy.
No pain.
No pain after, definitely no pain after the Messianic Kingdom. Definitely we know there's no pain there. There is a pretty big war that goes on at the end of the Messianic Kingdom. And there may be some pain there. Let's take a look at verse 3. So we saw that they ate. And so it's evening, they ate, dinner's done, they're ready to go to sleep. And what happens in verse 4?
The men come after them.
The men came out.
Yeah, the men of the city, the men of Sodom surrounded the house. That's a little threatening. Both young and old, all people from every quarter, verse 5, and they called the lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out that we, now my verse, and I'd like to hear some other translations, the New American Standard, which I think is what Joe read, says, bring them out to us that we may have relations with them.
I have sex.
Oh, it just says that we know
sex,
that.
What's your version you know?
NIV.
Okay. Carnal. Anyone have any different than sex or relations?
Carnally?
That might, we may know them carnally? Yeah. Okay, that's part of New King James. Yeah, so these guys want to gang rape the angels. And this gives you an indication as to the fact that when God told Abraham, there's a cry rising up out of Sodom that I'm hearing, and it's troubling. This gives you an indication. This is a symptom of, this isn't the problem. This is not the problem. You might think, well, isn't that a big problem? We have gang rape angels. Yeah, it's a problem, but it's not the problem. It's a symptom of the problem. This is just, there's probably lots of other symptoms that we're not even reading about. Child sacrifice. Probably all kinds of crazy stuff going on, and this is just one of the symptoms of it. So the guys want to gang rape the angels. Could someone read verses 6 through 11?
Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, no, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. But don't do anything for these men. They have come under protection of my roof.
"Get out of the way," they replied. And they said, "This fellow came here as an alien, and now he wants to play judge? We'll treat you worse than them." They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. But the men inside reached out and pulled Lot back into the house and shut the door. Then they struck the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, with blindness, so that they could not find the door.
Okay, thanks, Luke. So Lot figures out what's going on. He's getting worried. So verse 6, he leaves his house, goes outside, and shuts the door. In other words, he wants to, even though these are angels, and I'm sure he's aware of it, he doesn't want them to know what's going on, as if they don't. And so what does he say in verse 7?
Well, he said basically to the guys outside, don't do this wicked thing.
Yeah, what does he call them?
Brothers.
Yeah, they're his brothers.
Friends.
Friends, brothers. They're basically, I mean, he is a ruler in this city. He's a leader of all this mess. And, hey, you know, hey, you guys, I'm relating to you as a compatriot here.
Yeah. He's also trying to negotiate.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so what's his negotiation tactic, Tim?
Wow. I'll give you something else.
Yeah, so what's the negotiation? So, yeah, give me the content of the negotiation.
I'll give you these fresh, clean
daughters.
Virgin daughters.
I'll give you my two virgin daughters, and you can gang rape them all night in the square.
I don't care.
Yeah. Just don't do this.
Chris, you gotta explain that.
Yeah, well, let me ask you, what do you think?
Well, Lot had to be more afraid of the men, of the angels, than anything. I mean, maybe he wanted to make a great impression on the angels, show that this town's a good town.
That could be. He could have thought that, hey, these are, like, really holy people, and I want to make a good impression on them, and so in order for me to make a good impression, I'll do anything I can, even sacrifice my daughters.
Justifying himself.
I think in that culture, in that time, female children, girl babies just were not worth at all like a man was. That
property,
they were almost,
yeah, like,
down with the animals.
Like China.
Wow.
Just like China, yeah. A lot of other countries, just a lot of other, this is paganism. This is how people act outside of the God of Israel. Just, yeah, women are not worth much.
He was living in a city full of people like that. It had to have an influence on it.
Well, my...
Yeah, and not only, that's exactly right. And he was the leading a city like this. So he may have been one of the influencers.
To be authorized to be in that leadership, he probably had to...
Well, so just based on this information, how would you characterize Lot?
Just like me.
Desperate.
Okay, like, okay, well, let me ask you that. Okay, so I like that.
One sin for something I don't think is as bad as sin.
Fair enough. Would you ever offer Taylor and Allie out to be gang raped? Ever?
I can't imagine that I would.
Okay, I don't think you would either. So I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, there are degrees of sin, of involvement, of depravity, and I think he's way down on the scale, if you ask me.
Well, I'm trying to figure out is because, you know, Lot went ahead and argued about there's more than 10 people in the city that are righteous and everything else.
Who argued that?
Abram.
Lot was never part of that conversation.
Oh, okay. You're right. Okay. I'm sorry.
That's
okay. Yeah. Okay.
So, I don't want to influence your thinking here. I'm kind of thinking Lot's not the greatest guy in the world.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
But if Lot is not the greatest guy in the world, if Lot is a participant in this, what's going on, why would these angels be there?
God loves him.
God loves who?
God loves
Abraham.
God loves Abraham. Now, God loves Lot. God loves the gang rapists. We all know that. God loves the sin, sinner, not the sin. But the reality is, there's judgment for sin, no matter how much he loves you. And these angels aren't there because of Lot. They're not there at all because of Lot. They're there because of, Tim nailed it, Abraham. That's the only reason they're there, because of a covenant that Yahweh made with Abraham. And that's it.
Intercessory prayer is worthwhile.
And so Lot's there, and he offers, negotiates by wanting his daughters to get gang raped in the square all night. And you'd think we're not there yet in this society. We're getting close. But for most guys in this society, if we could gang rape two young girls all night versus two adult men, they probably would choose the young girls at this point in our society. But they're like, what do we care about some young virgin women?
Yeah.
We want to gang rape these strong, strapping dudes.
What comes to my mind is a friend I grew up with went to college. Well, a friend I had in college disclosed to me he had become gay, and he said, a beautiful naked woman does nothing for me. It's echoing in my head as you're saying this. I think they just were not interested in those women at all.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, we don't want to go down this road, too, because we could spend 5 years on this, but homosexuality. You know, I think that, not to go too, press this too far, but there are plenty of men that we know, and you may be in church with, are dealing with same-sex attraction. They may be more attracted to another male than a female. There's nothing sinful about wrestling with same-sex attraction. There's something very sinful about acting on same-sex attraction. Just like I can tell you, there's a lot of men, I bet you a lot here, that deal with another type of sin. Lust for big-breasted women. Or tight-bootied women. And there's nothing sinful about wrestling with that. There's sin. The sin is involved in acting out on it. So the human nature is depraved, and so there are attractions that we have that we're always being led to be disobedient. But it does appear that this type of sin that Paul condemns greatly in Romans, and Jewish culture really, again, the God of Abraham is very much against it. It's like bestiality. It's something unnatural. It goes beyond the created order. And so once you participate in it, the level of depravity goes down pretty quick. And it may be that these guys never had same-sex attraction. Like, I like Joe. He's like good-looking. It might just be like, look, we gang-raped every woman in town, and now we just like the appetite for more evil gets bigger and bigger. And just like, that's exactly right. So it might not have anything to do with attraction. And just like the violent sex on another man is just what we love.
It's just unfathomable. I'm sorry, but it just, yeah.
Welcome to human nature.
Right.
Sorry, what's that, Scott?
It doesn't specifically say that he gave the girls to them, but I believe he did.
Well, no, he did give the girls to them.
They didn't want them.
It says, I have them, but
he offered and they said no.
Well, read your verse 8, would you, Scott?
Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them, but don't do anything to these men.
So what do you think he's offering to these guys?
I mean, he's offering, but did he?
Did he take them out?
He would have. Let me ask you a question. Had they accepted his offer, do you think he would have?
Yes.
I think so, too.
You know, this isn't the only instance of this.
Judges.
Yeah. And that is one of my toughest verses that I've wrestled with. I've talked to my pastor about stuff because it's where the man goes to get his wife. He's in the square. He says, you know, you can't be here overnight.
Yeah.
And he gives his wife to them. They rape her all night.
Well, he protects the Levitical priest.
Gives his wife. But they rape.
She dies.
She falls to the door dead in the morning. And then he's so outraged. Cuts her into 12 pieces, sends a piece to each tribe of Israel, and says, we must have revenge for this. Yet he gave her up.
Yeah, right.
It's like dumbfounding to me. And,
totally agree.
It's the same sort of thing.
Exactly the same
thing, but it's absolutely beyond belief.
It's beyond belief. It is beyond belief.
And he was in the right, you know, and had this big wave and almost wiped out the tribe of Benjamin as a result and all that. But I absolutely don't understand. It's horrifying.
And I think that
I know,
but it's true. It's real and true.
And you know, but again, he was kind of in the right. Like the whole as it plays out, don't understand it.
I agree.
Isn't there a lack of faith in Lot's mind as well? I mean, he's with these two angels, right?
Mm-hmm.
He knows he's with the two angels. And, you know, I'm thinking that there's a lack of faith right here because it's...
Well, I'm not sure about that because let me ask you a question. Do you think that there are religious areas in Sodom? There's probably a lot of places to worship in Sodom. There's probably a ton of altars in Sodom. And he may be one of the priests of one of them.
Okay.
He has a lot of faith, I think.
Well, but he's with these two angels and everything, so if he had faith...
Faith in what?
In Yahweh. That
I don't know whether he has... Well, actually, we're going to go there. We'll get there. You'll see that he does have faith in Yahweh. But everyone has faith. Non-believers have a lot of faith.
I understand that, but he's right there with these two angels.
Well, I would say that, Rod.
But yeah, but that doesn't mean anything, though. Because, well, I don't want to say it, Rod. I don't come on. But people have faith in power. And so these guys, he knows they're powerful. I mean, angels interact with humanity a lot, and doesn't mean people have faith in Yahweh when they interact with angels.
But I also believe that that Lot was trying to appease, I don't know if that's the right word, but appease the Lord by giving the daughters so don't touch his angels.
Well, see, we don't know what's going on here. I'm going to go next, but it may be, maybe he did have faith in Yahweh. And like a lot of us, it's very misguided faith. Or maybe he had faith in power and knew these guys were out to take down the city. And maybe he was just trying to get him out of town and see if he could appease him. I don't, you know, there's a lot going on here. We just have to speculate on.
Yeah,
all we can judge, all we can really make determinations on is what he did. And we know this. He said, I got two little girls in here, gang rape them all night long. I raised them, I birthed them.
Yeah, they're virgins.
That's pretty brutal.
Do you think that, you know, maybe just got another way to look at this is by saying, I'm going to protect these angels. Like you said, he knew, he came out and shut the door, but they knew what was going on behind him. If he came out and said, you know, don't mess with these guys, take my daughters, that the angels would know and that they would not allow that to happen.
Could be. It's very good. He could be like, look, I might as well save the city and sacrifice my girls. What may have been more honorable, though, is gang rape me all night. I'll come out here, I'll dress up how you want, I'll put the lipstick where you want it, I'll put the feathers on my booty. You gang rape me all night.
Yeah.
That's if he was an honorable man.
Yeah.
Take it from me, not my daughter. At the end of the day, a lot of it, I mean, what I've kind of heard and settled on is just a cultural thing, which is, again, makes me want to vomit. But
it is a cultural, well... I would say it's a human thing. There's nothing new under the sun. This is going on right now.
It's a world without today. The Holy Spirit out there.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah.
It's a world without the presence of the ecclesia.
Yeah.
Remember, the ecclesia is restraining all kinds of evil.
Mm-hmm.
It's restraining all kinds of evil. And this was a time before the ecclesia was anywhere on earth. The only place God resided was, you know, at this point in time, not even in a tabernacle. These altars periodically. But there was a lot of religion in Sodom. Don't not think that. I mean, there were a lot of people worshiping in Sodom. There were a lot of temples, a lot of religious altars, a lot of religious places to worship. So you got here. Yeah, you can tell this is a pretty significant scripture. We're working our way through here. How do these guys reply to the offer in verse 9?
Way.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what do they say to him?
Stand aside.
You
stranger.
Yeah, stranger. So what does that mean, Paul?
You're not one of us. You came in here from outside.
Yeah, that's right. Remember, he's not from Sodom. He's from Abraham. He's Abraham's kin. And Abraham said, look, we can't hang together. Why don't you take one area and I take the other? And Lot, his eyes drew him to the garden, because this area is described as the Garden of Eden. It was so lush. And he said, I want that. And these guys were there, and he became one of them. And not only that, but these guys, they say to him that he's a stranger, yet he's already acting like a judge. Now, I think that's another clue that he has been acting like a judge. I think he's at the gate of the city. He probably was a leader. Now, how did he get into this role? It may have been, if you can recall, the only reason Sodom exists is because of Lot. because of the fact that everyone in Sodom was taken captive to be deported and taken to be slaves in Assyria. And Abraham said, you ain't taking my neph, and went and beat down these kings, captured all of the survivors of Sodom, and let them go. And rightfully, they were Abraham's slaves at that point in time.
Yeah.
And Abraham gave up most of the wealth, which is human beings, and said, go back to your city. And these guys probably know, or knew at that point in time, Lot is responsible for us even sucking air. But yet, in some period of time, things got really bad really quick, and Lot was part of it. And so they say, look, now we're going to treat you worse than them. In other words, as violently, as brutal as we were going to gang rape these two guys, we're going to do you one up.
That was his opportunity to give himself up instead of his girl.
Yeah, but he wasn't giving himself up. They were going after him.
They'd have gone through him.
Yeah. And verse 10, as they get close to him, they're about to get him. What happens in verse 10? The angels grab him, snatch him, and pull him in the house, close the door. Or no, they don't close the door, actually. Verse 11, what do these angels do?
It says they shut the door, but then they...
make all the people blind.
Shut the door, yeah. Maybe they opened it back up, maybe through the door. Yeah. Good point. They struck the men with blindness. And the idea here is it was completely bewildering. Just like Paul in the Damascus Road encounter. Just totally disoriented.
It's confusing because it says they struck him at the entrance of the door. They weren't inside then.
No, I don't think they were. They weren't in the house. They were. Right. But at the end of verse 11, they were trying to get in. Even though they were struck down, the evil drive to get it on with the man's anus was driving them and their blindness to still get through. Yeah, it's crazy. And so it's really crazy. Really, really crazy. Could someone read verses 12 through 16?
What relatives do you have here in the city, the man asked? Get them out of this place. Sons-in-law's sons, daughters, or anyone else. For we will destroy the city completely. The stench of the place has reached to heaven. God has sent us to destroy it. So Lot rushed out to tell his daughter's fiancé, quick, get out of the city, for the Lord is going to destroy it. But the young man looked at him as though he had lost his senses. At dawn the next morning, the angels became urgent. Hurry, they said to Lot. Take your wife and your two daughters who are here and get out while you can, or you will be caught in the destruction of the city. When Lot still hesitated, the angel seized his hand and the hands of his wife and two daughters and rushed them to safety outside the city, for the Lord was merciful.
Okay, thank you, Barry. So as all this commotion is going on, these guys are trying to break into the house. What do the angels say to Lot in verse 12? Is that what they say in verse 12?
Your family?
Do you have anyone else?
Yeah, is there anyone else? So, wow, man, this again just speaks...
There's not 10 here yet.
Yeah, well, what this really speaks to, again, is how favored Abraham is.
Yeah.
That the... favor and grace doesn't only extend to the nephew, but the nephew's family. They're worried about the nephew's family, even. This is how much Abraham is favored by Yahweh. And, you know, whoever you have, son-in-law, sons, daughters, whoever you have in the city, get them out. We need to bring them out of the place. And verse 13, they tell Lot why he needs to gather these folks. What do the angels say?
You're going
to
take the place out.
This place is going down. I like what Barry's version says, because the stench is so bad here. This is so offensive to the Creator that he has to pull a Noah on them, destroy everything. Just like humanity, he became so offensive to the Creator, they had to wipe everyone out. And same thing's going on here. We're pressing the reset button on this place. And because of Abraham, you got a chance to get out of here. Get your folk, get your peeps. Let's get together and move.
That is sad. It's happening right now.
Yeah. What happens in verse 14?
Well, Lot went to his son-in-law's.
Yeah. So a couple questions. Some different versions may say different things here. Are these guys married to his daughters that he offered?
No, they're pledged.
Yeah, so there's two things going on here. Either these guys
prospective.
Were prospective son-in-laws of the young women in the house, or these guys are current son-in-laws of other daughters living that have left home. The King James Version says this, Lot went to his sons-in-law, which were married to his daughters. And the New American Standard says this, Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters.
Right.
Mine pledged.
Okay, yeah. So the Hebrew word here is lakash, which means to take. So it's not easy to tell whether they had already, whether these are different daughters, and he's talking to son-in-laws who are married to the daughters, or these are son, it could be either one. It's, the majority opinion seems to be that there are other relatives of Lot in the city. And these are likely sons who are, these are men who have married some other daughters of his. Either way, how do these guys react?
He laughed.
Yeah.
I thought it was a joke.
Yeah, thought he lost his mind. I mean, come on. Won't you? I mean, someone tells you, look, we got to get out of here. Well, maybe not us now, knowing what did. it's fruitless. They're kind of like Noah. Again, Noah reached out too, and people just laughed.
Chris, I just say this. No one likes to leave home unless it's really awful.
It's true.
I mean, the immigrants and everybody that come here, they come here because they kind of got nothing where they are. It's not like, I'm going to trade this mansion for this beach house.
Sure.
And so they were probably, it related to him, he was a city elder, he was like, what are you talking about? I'm staying here.
Okay.
We've definitely been a participant in all that was going on anyway.
Let's put it this way. Y'all know, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the
problem.
Yeah. Definitely Lot did not wasn't making a stand for righteousness in Sodom.
Right.
He wasn't part of the solution.
Nope.
And so sometimes your passive participation in what's going on leaves you very, very guilty.
Yeah.
As if you're actively participating. And again, he may have been very active, not passive. I don't know. Verse 15, when the morning dawned, it started to approach morning. This is going on all night. The angels urge Lot, saying, look, this is who we got here, your wife and your two daughters. We got to get up on out of here, or you're going to be swept away. Verse 16, what does verse 16 tell us?
Well, it says when he hesitated.
Yeah,
the men.
Lot hesitated.
Right. Now, when they say the men, are they talking the angels?
So the men seized his hand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the angels grasping.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So let's but back up a second.
Okay.
So back to Tim's point. Lot had all, 12 hours, 8 hours to deal with all this. And when it's time to leave, he... Yeah, this is bad, man. This is really, really bad.
Well, he says his two daughters who are here, too, which, does that imply there's others? Or
I think it could. I think if we go down the road that there's other daughters, there's daughters in the city. Yeah.
Was it also, and this is going back into verse 14, but Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law.
Right.
Were they of the blind group outside the doors?
It's a good question, isn't it? Yeah, I would probably say that when the scripture tells us every man of the city was there, it probably is hyperbole. Probably not everyone is there. But at some point, things subsided enough for him to get outside of the house without being worried about being gang raped. So all this is going on. Lot is dealing with it all night, and yet at the time when it's time to move, he either is paralyzed in fear, which could be, or he's rethinking, wait a second, I got a lot to lose here. Could be either one. I'm leaving it. If I leave, I'm leaving a position of authority. It's taken me a lot of work to get there. I'm leaving a position of wealth. It's taken me lots of time. I'm leaving some fun, too. So there's a couple of different ways we can take this. Or it could be just flat-out fear. Like, how some people get. You got to smack people sometimes to wake them up. Come on, you got to. You can't be afraid now. We got to take action.
Well, they seized him.
So, yeah, that's exactly what happened. So they don't act. The guy seized him by his hand. And what else do they do physically?
We get the two daughters, too.
These guys they grab them. They're literally grabbing the daughters and the wife and him. And why do these angels, and you know what? It's probably not like been to Wapsing, Ohio. It's probably like, they probably got bruises after this. Why do these angels act probably so physically and probably harming them physically to get them out of there? Why are they doing this?
They had to. It was desperate.
Because the love of the Lord. Because of love. Yeah. Sometimes you know you're going to get a beatdown because of love. Sometimes you're going to experience pain and a fall and scratches because of love.
Love ain't easy.
So the Lord's compassion, and his compassion was upon Lot and his family through Abraham. Let's take a look at the next portion. I'm concerned with verses 17 through 22.
So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere near or anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Then the Lord said to them, "Please, no, my lords. Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest from evil overtake me and I die. See now that the city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Please let me escape there. Is not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning these things also, in what I have not overthrown this city for which you have spoken. Hurry, escape here, for I cannot do anything until you arrive here." Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar.
Okay, great. Thanks, Rod. So verse 17, they get outside, and even outside the city of Sodom, what do the angels say?
Don't be anywhere on the plain.
Yeah, good, good, good. So, first, escape for your life. What else?
Don't look back.
Good. Don't stay in the plain. Get out of the valley. And what else?
Get to the mountains.
And if you do any one of these things, what's going to happen to you at the end of verse 7? You're toast. If you do any one of these things, you are toast. Now, let's take a little bit of a rabbit trail here. Let's talk about the cost of discipleship. The cost of discipleship. And we're going to set the table for our next class here. Because what may surprise you, surprised me, and I've had to wrestle with it, is that Lot is considered a righteous man. We're going to look at the scriptures later, next week, to see that in the end, Lot is determined to be a righteous man.
That just doesn't make sense.
Does it? But think about it, and here's why I think it will make sense. What is righteousness?
Obedience.
Is that what it is?
Love. Faith.
Come on. How are you saved?
Faith in God.
Faith, right? Okay, good.
Surrender.
Faith in what?
Lord and Savior. Jesus. God.
Okay, good. There's no Lord and Savior. Where's Jesus God, here?
Right.
Well, so God. What it is, so for us, so this is good. Y'all agree that your righteousness is as filthy rags. It's like menstrual rags, bloody tampons before the Lord. Unclean and nasty. Anything you got. Your righteousness is solely in the shed blood of the Jewish king that you've trusted in to apply to your life so that the Lord would look at you through his blood and not judge you and condemn you. That's your righteousness. So, about this time, though. Let's talk about this period of time. Jesus isn't around, right? So what's their righteousness?
Abraham.
The word of God. Faith in Yahweh.
Okay, good. Yeah. the means of righteousness has never changed. It's always been faith. The content of that faith has changed. Before Jesus, you couldn't believe in Jesus for salvation.
Right.
You had to believe in Yahweh. And you had to trust in Yahweh. And Abraham says that. Look, Abraham believed, and because he believed, it was credited to, righteousness was imputed to him. So, as unsavory as this sounds, does it matter what Lot does to be righteous?
No, not according to that.
It matters if he had faith, right? Okay, good. Now, there's a lot of church people can say the same thing about, man, that guy's saved? Oh, I really don't know. I mean, we're going to have to find out on the other side if this is true. But that's the crazy thing about this Bible, is that righteousness is imputed not based on what you do. It's a big sign of what you believe. But when it gets down to it, righteousness is a basis of faith. And it may be that we're going to find out that Lot was righteous. And it may be he didn't have faith until after all this happened. But the bottom line, we're going to find out he was righteous. Now, there is a difference between mere faith and discipleship. You have a ton of believers out there, very few disciples. Very few disciples. And it may be that Lot was a mere believer, definitely wasn't a disciple. And he may have just gotten by on a fire insurance policy, which sadly enough, a lot of, this is why we are so screwed up right now in this country. We got so many people with fire insurance policies entertained out the wazoo straight into oblivion. Now, if you want to be a disciple, it's a very, very expensive proposition. Very expensive proposition. It costs a lot. In fact, Jesus says, you better count the cost before you step up on this. And there's one thing that Jesus is really serious about with regard to being a disciple. And it ties really to what Lot is being asked to do here. Verse 17, escape your life. Do not look back. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. So Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 57, Jesus is out in Israel, the elect chosen people of Yahweh. And all he's trying to do is find a few disciples. It's hard to do. Why? Well, it's a pretty expensive proposition. Verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, oh, I love also too. You gotta love people that, oh, I'll do this. I'll do it. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. You just fed a ton of people. I see you. Boom, you got crazy powers. Messing people up and healing people. I'll follow you. Verse 58, Jesus said to him, look here, dude. The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Messiah, Son of Man, this is the Son of Man as described in Daniel, who comes to rule and reign on earth, has nowhere to lay his head. Verse 59, and he said to another, follow me. But I gotta go bury my dad. That's a very important thing. Don't get me wrong. Very, very important. Especially in the law. You gotta honor your parents. Especially you gotta put them underground if they're dead. How did Jesus respond to that? The excuse. Let the dead bury their own dead. I'm asking you to do something bigger. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the Messianic kingdom. Verse 61. Another said, I'll follow you, Lord. I'll be a disciple. But first, permit me to say goodbye to those at home. And what does Jesus say in verse 62?
No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God.
Wow, that's pretty strong. Those are hard words. All the guy wanted to do was say goodbye to his friends, and Yeshua said, you're not fit for the Messianic kingdom. If your priority, if this is your priority, you're not able to do this. Discipleship is once you put your hand to the plow. In other words, we're talking about an agrarian culture. When you put your hand to the plow, what are you getting ready to do?
Wow.
Work. It's more than mere faith. It's work. Sweat-bearing, back-breaking, painful work. And Yeshua said, once discipleship is this. Once you put your hand to that plow, this is not salvation, this is discipleship. Once you put your hand to that plow, you're going to work. And not only that, you better not look back. Like, wasn't it easier when I could just be entertained and eat with all-you-can-eat buffets and do whatever I wanted and have my fire insurance policy? And these guys were the chosen nation. These guys were all it. Yeshua said, no. So this is very important. They said to Lot, don't look back. And for disciples of Messiah Yeshua, once you make the decision to get to work and to follow him, get ready for him to make some radical claims on your life. And don't be looking back. Oh, it was so much better. That's evil. That's a hard word to say, but I'm just reading what Jesus is saying.
But Chris, Peter was a disciple, correct? He lied 3 times. He denied Christ 3 times. They continued with Peter.
Sure.
God's forgiving.
Okay, we'll finish up. I won't be here Friday, but the following Friday I'll be here.
All right. Lou.
Right for us, man.
Father, we first thank you so much, Lord, for all that you do for us each and every day. Father, I just ask you to bless all the men in this room and all the men that didn't make it here today, Father, to watch over them. Father, we thank you for Chris explaining your words to us so we can have a true, full understanding of what you're trying to convey to each and every one of us. Father, we ask you for strength. We ask you for strength to be what you want us to be each and every day. And not to go down that easy path and not to look back. Father, you're an awesome God. And we just thank you for loving us the way you do.
Yes, we do.
And we thank you, Lord, for all the things that you do for us. But the most important, Father, is we know in our hearts how much you love us.
Sure.
Father, let us reciprocate that love to you by bringing more and more people to your family.
Yeah.
Lord, you're an awesome God. And we just thank you for this morning. We just thank you for Chris getting up each morning and teaching all the time. Lord, we just thank you for everything, Lord, that you do for our families and how you watch over them. Father, give us the strength to bring more and more people to you. Let us be the light. And Lord, I do say all these things in your most powerful name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, brother.